We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
It is the PM team. Andrew Filippone out all week. He's convalescing after surgery of a sensitive nature. But I talked to him. He is, as much as Andrew can be, in good spirits. And I know he's a little jealous because I get to go out to the hotline and for the next 10 to 15 minutes have a conversation all by myself with our Pirates insider, Mr. Jason Mackey of the PG. And the fan hotline, by the way, is brought to you by Armstrong Business Solutions. Jason, one, I know that you are you're playing out of position here because you're relaxing right now. It's a little R&R for you, so I appreciate you still making time for the show today.
My pleasure, man. It's been a little bit of an unconventional summer for me, as people know, and this was a trip that had planned with the family when I was on the hockey beat, and we wanted to honor it because my kids start in school in the fall, so didn't want them to not have a vacation this year. I know it's kind of odd being I normally wouldn't take a vacation in the middle of a beat season. I don't believe in it, but we had to hold true to this one and kind of make do. So thanks for dealing with me and the readers out there. Thanks for continuing to read us.
Well, I think, Jason, everybody understands what you just said, and I think if we're being very practical here, and I mean this, I'm not trying to pile on, because this was sort of the open to the show for me today, you're not missing much, because the Pirates just, and tell me if this is being unfair. I watched the game last night, I'll watch the game again tonight, and for me, some of it is, I don't subscribe to MLB.TV, so the curiosity factor of getting to see Mike Trout, who I think is going to, when his career is all said and done, be considered one of the best baseball players, handful of best ever, to pick up a bat and glove and play the game. But watching what the team did almost felt like it was the whole, if a tree falls in the forest, if the Pirates end their losing streak out in the West Coast, and hey, Mitch Keller gets a win, but it was happening late at night. Did it really happen? Does it matter? I'm having trouble dragging any further meaning out of what this team is doing because they are mired in such a horrific run right now.
Well, Chris, I understand where you're coming from, and I think a lot of people who follow the Pirates probably have the same view on it. I think I'm probably sick in the head, and that like I look at last night, and I also see, you know, Mitch Keller coming into a situation and pitching well. That should be an encouraging sign. You know, Josh Bell has seemingly rediscovered his stroke a little bit. You know, Brian Reynolds. But in any case, I look at last night, and they were going to win again. I didn't think they were going to go 0 for the rest of the season. Where I think this is going to tell an interesting tale is this just a one-off? Like, is this still a terrible team that's dead in the water and whatever? Or do they actually use this as some sort of momentum? Do they grab onto it? Are they able to build on it? I think that's why, you know, tonight and tomorrow are so pivotal too. And I don't know. I think this goes back to, what do you look at when you see this team? Do you want to look at it and see any sort of building, or do you just want to be pissed? And I completely understand both ways of thinking. But I do think you can look at last night and pluck something from it. Mitch Keller, we're talking about their starting rotation. I mean, the kid's got to pitch well. He's got to pitch reasonably, the way he did last night and make some strides. He's going to be in the rotation the rest of the year. So I think his starts anyway should at least be worth watching.
Neil Huntington over the weekend called his team young, but he also then, in more or less the same breath, Jason, he called them inexperienced at the same time. And I don't think those are two interchangeable terms by any stretch of the imagination. And I think it's an important distinction to make, because if this was a team that was both young and inexperienced, that would be one thing. A lot of the guys that I think the Pirates are going to be counting on, if they're going to have any kind of resurgence next season, are players in their mid to late 20s, which in this day and age in baseball feels like it's getting kind of late early out there, with guys' careers not really extending well into their 30s, with them being very productive. What say you about the idea that the Pirates are young versus merely inexperienced?
Yeah, I mean, I do think they kind of need to be both, and I think the way Neil Huntington has built this roster, they're going to be both. But the Pirates are sort of caught in a tricky position there in that they can't be all young. I look, you know, when you were introducing that little bit or whatever, like I immediately gravitated toward the catching position. They're not young there. It would be great if they could go young there and they had a prospect coming up who was worth playing, but they don't. And so in the offseason, to me, that has to be a priority. I've liked what Jacob Stallings has done, but he's not a starter. And they need to go out and find somebody who's a legit number one there. And at their starting rotation as well. I mean, it's fantastic that they got what they got from Mitch Keller, but it's still only one start. And let's say, even put our optimism hat on here and say he's good the rest of the season, and we say, okay, Mitch Keller can be in your starting rotation next season. What are we thinking about the rest of it? You know, they're neither young nor old nor any real one thing, and I do think you're going to have to put a Band-Aid on it. I have some questions whether they're going to, but you generally don't do that by going really young. Like, you have to get somebody who's at least middle-aged. You're probably going to have to overpay a little bit and whatever. But my point is that there's certainly some imperfections with this team and this roster, even to get it to competitive status. And it's hard to go totally young when you have those holes.
Our Pirates insider Jason Mackey joining us here on the PM team. Yeah, I guess my main thought on it, Jason, the reason I brought it up is I don't think Neil Huntington was excuse-making because, I mean, he kept trying to fall on the sword in his Sunday show, his weekly show. But he seemed to say one thing that I don't agree with, and it's the idea of, oh, wait, this is a young, up-and-coming team. Maybe inexperienced, but again, if let me put it this way. If Josh Bell was 23 and had been in the bigs for a couple of years, but he was 23, and Reynolds was 22, and they had a bunch of precocious youngsters, right? I would feel one way about them. Because all those guys, except for Reynolds, are 25 or older, I don't feel the same way. It seems like other teams are getting better production from younger players earlier on, and I don't feel like the Pirates are on that track. I don't feel like when I'm watching this team, I'm watching a bunch of guys who are a couple of years too early just going through some growing pains, is I guess my point.
Yeah, no, I think that's a completely valid point. And I think that's part of what we should look at the rest of the year. And part of me worries whether they're going to screw this up. I mean, they should be getting younger than they are now. Why not play Ke'Bryan Hayes? Why not play Cole Tucker? And, you know, I understand. I'm not seeing them every day in Indianapolis, and I'm sure there's some nuance there. I think Ke'Bryan Hayes was hitting about 248 at last check, and that's going to leave some holes there. So maybe you want to let him cook a little bit more. I get that. But at least from September 1 on, I mean, that's what the rest of this season should be, looking under every rock, looking at what opportunities they can find for guys. And I do think they're going to do this. But, you know, to your original point, Chris, with what Neil Huntington said yesterday on his show, I mean, I get where Neil's coming from. It's just like, what do you want him to do? You know, they are getting decent production out of some younger guys, you know, Josh Bell, Kevin Newman, Brian Reynolds, et cetera. I mean, that's great. But Neil Huntington is also correct in that he built a roster that is flawed. It has holes. And to me, it's you take the good, but they need to really take a longer look at the bad. Why is this group not pitching that well? For the first month of the season, it was great. Ever since then, it's been crap, especially since the All-Star break. And to me, you need to look not necessarily at, oh, who can we sign to come in here and be better? To me, it's let's overhaul this whole thing, or at least take a deep look at what are we trying to do? Do our talents match the intent? How are we developing guys? Are we developing the right pitches to match what the game is? I mean, we talk over and over about pitching to contact and ground balls and how baseball is right now, and the Pirates are kind of obtuse with that stuff. They're not falling in line with the rest of the game. So to me, I mean, I'm willing to give them the benefit of the doubt that there are some good young players. It's just there are too many holes surrounding.
So one of the things that I think contributes, Jason, to there being too many holes, and Neil Huntington's got constraints on him. We all know that, financial constraints, significant ones. I think we all understand that. But there are teams that, granted, can spend more money, and we've heard them spend more money, that like the Dodgers spend $20 million to leave no stone unturned when it comes to their farm system and prospects and sort of just looking for advantages in the margins. But to me, it is an indictment of either the scouting director, the farm director, or both for this team that they are picking more often than not in the middle to the top of the first round. And their farm system is nowhere near, say, just for example, again, the Dodgers, who are picking at the bottom of every single round. Is there a chance in your mind that Neil Huntington keeps his job and maybe Larry Broadway or Joe Delacari does not, and that there is a demand placed on Huntington that he let go one of these two or both?
Yes, absolutely. I mean, absolutely. At this point, I mean, their farm system isn't nearly as good enough, I should say, for where they pick consistently like you're talking about. And if you're not going to spend money at the major league level, which, I mean, the budget is what it is, and it's not great, and you can complain about it over and over again, but it's reality. You got to be good other places. And there are other small market teams that have figured out a way to do this, and the Pirates have not. I can't say it's the player development side. I can't say it's the scouting side. I can't say it's, you know, any number of things that could be Joe Delacari, could be Larry Broadway, could be, you know, a bunch of other factors. But to me, if you're running the Pirates right now, if you're Bob Monning, if you're Frank Cunnelly, if you're Neil Huntington, it doesn't matter. You need to be asking those questions. I mean, the farm system isn't good enough. They don't have the assets of other teams that generally have worse picks than them. They've missed on way too many players, guys that they looked at him and said, yes, we think he's going to be a part of our future, and they've been wrong. So, I don't – you have to look at those guys. You have to look at everything. I would imagine they go into this winter saying, nobody is safe. We're going to take a very deep dive into evaluating this thing.
Is there any utility, Jason, because Neil Huntington said he couldn't even remember in their 105 loss season in 2010, a stretch as truly kind of awful as the one that they're currently mired in, 5-24. Because Huntington can't remember it being this bad at any point, even in their worst season in recent memory, do you think there is any utility in Bob Nutting, if he is in fact very dissatisfied with the product on the field, breaking with his normal kind of operating procedure and actually saying something publicly to the effect of, I'm not happy about this as the owner of the ball club, and we are going to take a very hard look at things as soon as this season ends?
Yeah, I think there would be value in him speaking, absolutely. I know I asked for him. I'm sure other reporters have asked for him. I've been told that he won't be speaking until toward the end of the season. I get where he's coming from, where the Pirates are coming from, where maybe you just feel like you're going to be piling on, or you want to make sure that you have... But
don't you think people actually want him to pile on? Like, I actually think the man could win, not win some points with people, but at least have some people nodding their heads if he said, listen, I'm just as mad about this, I'm just as frustrated about this as every... Like, speak a little differently than we hear him a lot. Sound a little fiery. Sound like a guy who's fed up and who's going to, you know, lop off some heads here underneath of him.
I disagree with you there, though, Chris, just because I think, like, yes, that would be good to hear that, you know, if you're a fan, but aren't fans just going to come back more? You could have avoided that if you would have just spent some money, you know, cheat Bob. Like, he's just going to get crushed no matter what. I at least that's my opinion on it. Like, no matter what the guy says, people are just going to come back and say, you should spend more money. You should, like, they're mad. And I understand why. I'm not saying people don't have a right to be mad. I just think that people are showing up to the ballpark and spending money on food, tickets, merchandise, all this stuff for a team that is just completely gone in the toilet out of the All-Star break. Like, there's Frank Cunnelly's talk, Neil Huntington's talk. I don't think it's outside the realm of possibility for the owner to give his comments on it. I don't think it's going to satiate people. I think they're still going to be mad, but, you know, you're a publicly funded team with your ballpark. Like, there are factors here that we can point out that it leads to the owner should be accountable and should be talking, especially when you put the payroll where it is and there's so much of a narrative around this team, right or wrong, that it's because the owner won't spend. And if he disagrees with that, if there's a reason why, you know, he says, well, the money's this, and if he has comments to the contrary, go ahead and make them. I think people would want to hear it.
Jason, we'll leave at that point. Did Jim Colony, did he comment on you and your lovely wife's choice of beverage at vacation?
He did, yes. I think he, you know, just gave it a thumbs up. I don't think he said anything to it. But I guess people were ripping me, too. You might have been one of them. But
no, I wasn't. I mean, I remember my college days. There's something vaguely hip. I think Natty Light has gone hipster now.
It kind of has. And, I mean, that's the vibe we were going for. Like, my wife and I were at this place. They're playing, you know, Chili Peppers and a bunch of, like, stuff that we listened to in college. And it felt right, man. I would prefer craft beer every day of the week to Natty Light. But it was just in that moment. It was the right beer.
Jason, enjoy the rest of your vacation. Thanks, man.
All right, my man. See you soon.
Jason Mackey, our Pirates insider right there. Make sure you text us on the Edgar Snyder & Associates fan text line. Edgar Snyder & Associates reminds you to text responsibly. That text line, 412-928-9370. And make sure, too, that you follow us on Twitter. Where? At 93.7 The Fan, driven by Shorkey Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. Locations, North Huntington and the North Hills. Andrew Filippone will be back on your airwaves with me next Monday. You may have heard because the man himself, I think, said it approximately 150 times in the week or so leading up to it. He had penis surgery yesterday morning. Not cosmetic, not some sort of elective procedure. He had to have it done. But because we're all 12-year-old children at heart here, with the humorous sensibilities of such, of like seventh graders, we have been repeatedly referring to it as what it is because, haha, funny words. Andrew is doing fine. Everything went as planned. 5-hour procedure. Ah! The time of the procedure, I think, is what gets me. 5 hours! Don't you want anything, if you're a guy, involving that to be like, any kind of invasive work done? Hey, can you get in, get out here? Do what you gotta do and then leave. Let's not sit down and have dinner. Let's not, like, spread out the tablecloth here. Surgeons are chatting each other up. They're like, oh, well, we gotta settle in for... The idea of, oh, settle in, it'll be a while. To all the surgical assistants, I would go, not cool. But Andrew's doing fine. His lovely wife Amanda texted me yesterday while things were still going on, and then when he got out. I guess he's in that mode, though. For anybody that doesn't like Pony or his takes have ever made you mad, I guess he's in a mode where it hurts him enough right now, where the pain meds are, when they kick in, is when he feels better. So if you've disliked Andrew this whole time, if you have always agreed with my takes, which are almost always excellent and the better of the two, know this. Your pal Pony, or maybe he's not your pal. He's in another kind of pee. Pain. That's right. He needs his pain medication for it. But he'll be back next Monday. I'll be honest with you. He's a better man than I. Because if I was having penis surgery, I think I'd be out more than 5 days. I'd be milking that one for all. You know what? Hey, I'd be walking around with like a limp, like a hitch in my giddy up, and be like, "Hey, whoa, what happened to you? Oh, penis surgery." Like one of those old west cowboys who's got like the chaps on all wrong, and they're just kind of like walking real unsteady through town. That would be me. I'd be walking around like I was approaching high noon at Dodge City. Always getting ready for a gunfight for probably 2 full weeks. So good on him that he's taking a week and he's done. And he's back, as far as we know. By the way, got a great thing to tell you about right now. Josh Bell signing. How about this? August 15th. So that would be, counts the days. Thursday, August 15th, 6:30 to 7:30. And it's at the new TSE showroom that's right off the Parkway West. Off of Campbell's Run, or it's on Campbell's Run Road, really. You can't miss it when you're on Campbell's Run. You can get complete details on this. So it's going down Thursday, and pre-sale items available at tseshop.com. Tickets also available at the door on Thursday for the Josh Bell signing while supplies last. I said something else that you were going to find out in Andrew Filippone's surgery update. You did. And because I am nothing, if not a sleuth, I want to tell you where Antonio Brown has been. He spoke today. Did Antonio Brown spend some of his time away during Helmetgate? Did he spend it with a member of our Entercom family here? Listen for yourself.
Well, I've been seeing a foot specialist, Marty. He's a good guy. I've been taking care of my feet.
He got Marty? Antonio Brown got Marty for his feet. They put Marty on the case.
Well, I've been seeing a foot specialist, Marty.
Marty.
He's a good guy. I've been taking care of my feet.
We know he's a good
guy.
I've been
doing all the rehab and procedures things to allow me to come back out here and do what I desire to do.
Do what I desire to do, which is play in the helmet that I want to play in, but hey, I can't play in that helmet, so can somebody send me a shut air, whatever. I keep forgetting the name of the helmet. Who cares? A shut helmet, and I'll sign a helmet for you and send it to you. I won't pay you, but I'll sign a helmet. Only Antonio Brown, by the way, would say he's been seeing a foot specialist, right? And then just randomly give the dude's first name only. Yeah, his name's Marty. Does he have a last name? No, it's just Marty. I got Marty. Hey, Finley, where, like, Andrew, where have you been? Oh, I had surgery done. It was by Bill. Okay, Bill who? Just Bill. Chris, where have you been? I was actually, I was on vacation. And I was seeing my accountant, Tim. Just Tim. Okay. One more time, because it's so weird. Why throw the name, the first name, Marty? You know what? Did the foot specialist say, like, hey, don't say my last name. I don't want to get inundated with people who want to see me, but, like, can you give me a shout-out in some way? And AB's like, sure. What if his name's not even Marty? Have we all considered the possibility that his name could be, like, Mark or Mork? Mork, you know, Mort? Molly?
Well, I've been seeing a foot specialist, Marty.
Marty. Do you think people have already Googled foot specialist Marty today? Because if they haven't, I plan on being the first to do so. One more time. I don't know why this sounds so ridiculous to me, but it does.
Well, I've been seeing a foot specialist, Marty. He's a good guy. I've been taking care of my feet.
I would hope if he's a foot specialist, he's been taking care of my back. I would hope he's been taking care of your feet. Although, if that's the guy you've been seeing for a while, it doesn't look like he's been taking great care of them. Those feet look like hell. Chopped up to crap. All right, so Antonio Brown's been... He got Marty. Andrew Filippone resting up after his surgery. And everyone, presumably, Pony will be back on Monday, and I would imagine Antonio Brown will be back to Raiders camp sooner rather than later. Coming up, Pat Narduzzi on with the Fan Morning Show, guys, this morning. Kenny Pickett talking as well this morning. He also was on with the Fan Morning Show, guys. In fact, in back-to-back segments. They both said a couple interesting things, Pickett specifically, and it got me to thinking about Pitt football with the season opener against Virginia a mere 18 days away. And I want to ask a very simple question about Pitt football coming up next on the PM team. First, I want to tell you about something. That's something, it's actually a bunch of people who are doing a bunch of good things. It's the fine people at Shorkey North Hills Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram. That's Mike Engel's place. He's the GM. He's the deal maker. August is here, and guess what comes with August at Shorkey North Hills? It's the Shorkey North Hills back to school celebration, the place to save. They got new Ram trucks. That's what they do at Shorkey North Hills. Bighorns, quad cabs, crew cabs, diesels, 4x4, got them all. Now up to $14,000 off MSRP. How about new Dodge Chargers, Challengers, Durangos, up to $7,500 off MSRP. I've driven the Charger. You know I love that vehicle, right? All-wheel drive with the one I had. Ton of muscle, eye catcher. Loved the Dodge Charger. They've also got all those go-anywhere Jeeps you know and love. Compass, Wrangler, Renegade, and Cherokee. Now up to $7,000 off. You got to get educated since it's back-to-school celebration time on Jim Shorkey's unbeatable and unbelievable inventory, and you're going to have a great experience while you're there, too, because that's what Mike Engel and his team are all about. The best deals, the best selection, and the best service. You're going to get it all, and you need to go see them at ShorkeyNorthHills.com. The segment is brought to you by Pittsburgh's number one Chrysler Dodge Jeep Ram dealer, ShorkeyNorthHills.com. Top of the 4 o'clock hour. I have thoughts about Devin Bush's debut with the Steelers. Do you even call the preseason game a debut? Isn't the debut when he runs out and takes the field against New England in week one? We'll figure out that little semantic detail when we get to it. But in about 10 minutes, I want to talk about Devin Bush's debut. But in a larger sense, the expectations being placed on him and what is and is not reasonable to expect Devin Bush's impact to be. Fan Morning Show was at Pitt's facilities today, and they caught up with some of the main particulars, did the guys, that you would expect them to. Pat Narduzzi, of course, talking about his team, and also Kenny Pickett. And here's just two brief clips to wet your whistle, one from each person here. This is first Pat Narduzzi on Kenny Pickett with the Fan Morning Show, guys.
It's decision-making and making quick decisions on where the ball goes and knowing where to go with the ball quicker. And I think that's something, you know, it's not like he's a veteran quarterback. I mean, he started one game 2 years ago. Last year, he got his first season under his belt. It's year two, and I think we're going to see a big improvement from, you know, his year one starting to year two. He's a different guy. So we'll find out.
No, he's a veteran quarterback. In college football, I'll be honest, you can't have any year two stuff going on. It's his third year where he'll have taken the field. Kenny Pickett needs to be the best player on the offense this year. You can't have this year two thing. How many guys in college football are like 1 year and they're in and they're good? Year two for a good quarterback in college football is like a year where that player, I would argue, is obviously his team's most important piece. And that should have been last year for Kenny Pickett, right? Because Pat Narduzzi talked him up big time before last season, and then it didn't come to pass. So now it's a readjusted narrative. Oh, this year, things will be different. So clearly the evaluation pre-last season was not accurate. This is Kenny Pickett, by the way, right after Pat Narduzzi talked to the guys, talking about R-E-S-P-E-C-T.
Since I've been here, I don't think Pitt gets the respect that it deserves. So, you know, every week we're going to come fighting to earn that respect, and we'll be ready to go on every Saturday.
All right. I say this as a longtime fan of Pitt. Even when I went to Penn State, I would wear Pitt shirts. There's a reason that you're perceiving a lack of respect. In Pat Narduzzi's tenure, 8-5, 8-5, 5-7, and 7-7. That's four games over 500 in a pretty putrid division. Would we not all agree? The ACC Coastal is a terrible division. It might be the worst division in all of the Power Five. So Pitt has built in, most years they should have, at worst, a good chance to win their division and make it to the conference title game, where, yes, the big bad boogeyman awaits, and it's Clemson. But Pat Narduzzi's beaten Clemson. I don't love that. Like, know why you're not getting respect. The team's not winning enough. You got to the ACC title game last year and got thumped. And I guess it would constitute a successful season, but 7-4 after Wake Forest, and then 24-3, 42-10, and then 14-13 loss to Stanford. 7-7. That's why there's not a lot of respect. And hearing that from Kenny Pickett, and then kind of hearing Pat Narduzzi readjust things and recalibrate expectations for Kenny Pickett and say, this is actually the year you should see a leap. So I don't know what happens if this year comes to pass and it's not good. What then? If you're a Pitt fan, is there a reason to look at everything as being, like, is this different than any other preseason? And I ask myself that sort of rhetorically, because I've watched this team a lot. I have lived and died with this team. I can remember a Larry Fitzgerald, Rod Rutherford team, I believe it was, going into the Glass Bowl in Toledo and losing to freaking Bruce Gradkowski and Lance Moore. I can remember a lot of Pitt games. I can remember the Clemson game that they won under Pat Narduzzi. Those are fun memories. But interspersed much more frequently throughout any kind of reminiscing about the good old days, 13-9, are just a litany of heartbreaks, of embarrassments, of things that add up to a lot of records that go roughly between 8-4 and 5-7. Mediocrity, in other words. Pitt won 10 games under Dave Wannstedt, counting their bowl win against North Carolina in 2009. That's 10 games. The previous year, they won 9 games. To go back and find a year that they won 10 games, you have to go way back to 1981. 11-1 team. Then 9-3 the next year. And that was a little run there. 79, 11-1, 11-1, 11-1, 9-3. Okay. Walt Harris had a 9-4 year. The reason the program hasn't commanded much respect is right here. I'm reading directly from their media guide, which is very snappy. Love the blue and yellow. Love the real Pitt colors. But, and I know Kenny Pickett's saying that to say we're going to go out and earn the respect. We're going to fight. I get it. I get that it's him setting up, like, here's what we're going to do. But if you're playing the disrespect card in your Pitt, there's reason for it. It sits here in print in the formal media guide that gets sent out to people. You haven't won enough games. And I look at a team that doesn't have Quadri Olison anymore, doesn't have Darren Hall anymore, and has, I think, a lot of question marks still with Kenny Pickett. And now with Rashad Weaver going down, the defense loses its best front four player, or, you know, probably its best player among the front seven, I would think. Isn't there reason to feel a lot of compunction about this? Isn't there reason to have a little uncomfortable knot in the stomach here if you're trying to project a Pitt season? You know, Pat Narduzzi also said in that interview, and you can check it out at 93.7thefan.com in its entirety, that part of him likes playing a team like Virginia, a conference game right off the bat, but part of him likes getting that kind of one game under your belt sort of thing against a lower-tier school. Likes getting, not a glorified workout, they've lost those games, but likes getting their feet wet before the real teams start coming through town. I like the fact that they're getting Virginia in week one, because you'll know real quick, I think, whether Kenny Pickett has made some sort of leap and whether this is, in Pat Narduzzi's words, really his year two. Because I call it year three for him, but maybe I'll concede that Narduzzi's right if he goes out there and throws for 300 yards and three touchdowns against Virginia. Until such time, though, I think there's good reason to have questions about respect and good reason to think, if you're a Pitt fan, that they've got to prove it to you that this year is going to be somehow appreciably different. Right now, I got something for you. For caller 10 to 412-928-9370. It's a four-pack of tickets to the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival, West Newton, PA. It runs on weekends from August 17th through September 22nd, opening weekend, August 17th and 18th. That's this coming weekend. Stop by Wendy's for opening weekend. Buy one, get one discount coupons. Caller 10, four-pack of tickets to the Pittsburgh Renaissance Festival, 412-928-9370. Fan weather brought to you by Sun Chevy and McMurray. Join Sun Chevy for their all-star open house all month long and open the door to a new Chevy. 79, gloomy outside. Should be nicer tomorrow with a high of 82 and a low in between of 65 overnight tonight. Devin Bush, I thought he had a good debut, but it's not quite a pump the brakes speech that I'm going to give you about Devin Bush himself. More of a big picture. I'll explain what I mean coming up next. PM Team on the Fan.
T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with three lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.